Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hallelujah! We're in our 50 days of transformation. God is still, he's still at work. If you're looking at your life and you're like, man, I got a long way to go. It's all right. God's still at work, right? We're not perfect, but God's not done with us. God's still working in our lives, and so we're in 50 days of transformation. Last week, we talked a lot about going through some valleys, and so if you're in a valley in here, and you don't have to raise your hand, we've probably all either have been one, we're in one, or we might be headed for one. I don't know, but the thing is that God says you can get through it. Thank you, Jesus, right? So just keep moving forward. And so today we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 in our 50 days of transformation. I just encourage you, I put out a challenge at the beginning of this to just stick with God for 50 days. Do something you haven't done before and step up your walk with him and just see what God does. Amen? God's a big God and he wants to do big things in our life. And so in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, we're going to look at this out of the New Living Translation, one of my faves. And it says up here, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but let God. Somebody say that with me, let God.
Let God.
You got to let God do a work in you. You can resist the work that God wants to do. So you got to let God do it. God's not going to violate your will. How many know you didn't go to sleep last night? Once you got born again, you woke up the next day and you're a totally different person. How many wish that would have happened? But it didn't, because it says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And when we look at that, it shows us the power of how we think. How you think is going to either change your life for the good or change your life for the bad. And the Bible says that let God transform your life, change you into a new person. Let those old things be old, those dead things be dead. And he's going to do that by changing the way you think. And so often we're always like, God, change my circumstances. And God's more interested in changing the way you think than changing your circumstances. Because he knows that once your way of thinking is changed, your circumstances will change. And they won't be changed just for the moment. They'll be changed for a lifetime. It's kind of like that old thing, give a guy a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a guy to fish, he eats for a lifetime. Kind of the same thing. And so when we look here, out of the other translations that we're looking at, it says the renewing of your mind. The way that we renew our mind is that we change the way that we think. And so today we're going to talk about something super important. We've talked about spiritual health, and today we're going to talk about mental health. Look at your neighbor and say, you need this. You're here on the right Sunday. You know what? We all need, in all seriousness, we all need it. We all need healthy minds. Because if your mind isn't healthy, your life cannot be healthy. And the enemy is attacking people's minds in such a dramatic way, and it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, the anguish and the sadness and just the despair that people have because the enemy is attacking their mind. And we see that all through the world. You see that, and there are things, you know, there are issues that come. But when the enemy is attacking our mind, we have to learn that in order to change my life, I have to be able to manage my mind. I have to be able to do that. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Because God's far more interested in changing your mind than changing your circumstances. Because when your mind changes, your circumstance eventually change. And so when we're looking at this, no transformation. We all want transformation. We're looking for things to change. We're looking for, whether it be our relationships, our physical bodies, our financial situations, our emotional health. We're looking for these things to change, for that transformation. We're like, all right, this is going to be transformed, you know, but none of that's going to change. None of that's going to happen if we don't change the way that we think. No matter how many times you get hands laid on your head, unless you change the way you think, your life will not change. No matter how many times you go out in the Spirit, unless you change the way you think, your life will not change. It may change for a moment, but it will not change for a month. Amen? And how many? I'm looking for lasting change. You know, it's why so often, you know, the Spirit of God will be moving, and the Holy Ghost is so powerful, and He'll be moving, and He'll touch someone's life in a powerful way. And in that moment, they are set free, and their life is changed. But if they don't change how they think, they will go back to how they were. And we see it all the time. Because the Spirit of God wants to work with your mind. Your mind is an amazing tool that God gave you. And as a believer, let's not try to put our head aside and say, oh, I'm just going to be, it's just my spirit. Your spirit and your mind work together. And so God gave you the ability to reason. He gave you common sense. He gave you your head for a reason. And so He said, listen, and here's why it's so important that we change the way we think, that we learn to manage our mind, because the battle for your life is right between your ears. Many of us have heard Joyce Meyer's teaching on the battlefield of the mind, right? It's right up here. And so we need to learn to manage our head, manage our mind. And here's why. So you guys ready? We're going to look at why. Why I got to do that? Some of you are like, why do I have to do that? Well, you know what? Ask your family members. They'll tell you. Ask your spouse. Ask your boss. They'll tell you. Number one reason I need to manage my mind and really learn how to deal with thoughts is because my thoughts control my life. My thoughts control my life. Every single action always begins as a thought. Everyone. If you don't listen, if you don't think it, you won't do it. Woo, that's good. If you don't think it, you won't do it. And that's both good and bad. If you don't think it, you don't do it. If it's a good thought, then you're not going to do something good. If it's a bad thought, then you're not going to do something bad. But my thoughts control my life. Where do I get that from? Proverbs 4:23 out of the New English Version says this. I want you to look at this verse. Be careful. How many know if God tells you to be careful, you better be careful. Yeah. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Look at that word, shaped. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And so if I want to change my life, the shape of my life, like if you say, oh, my marriage is in bad shape. My finances are in bad shape. My physical body is in bad shape. If I want to change the shape of something, I've got to change how I think about it. Because it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. People say, I was just thinking it. It's not a big deal. You don't realize how important your thoughts are. The Bible says the power of your mind, the power of your thoughts has tremendous ability to shape your life for good or for bad. If you accept a thought from when you were growing up, maybe somebody told you that you're worthless, you're no good, you don't matter, you're never going to amount to anything, you were a mistake, you're ugly, whatever. Whatever somebody told you, if you accept that fact, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, it will shape your life. Some of you are handling relationships and how you deal with people based on what your father told you when you were 8 or 9 years old. You're still making decisions based on that. Or based on something your mother told you or a family relative told you. You're making decisions for your whole life based on a thought that was probably not true in the first place. And it's shaping your life. People say, I swore I would never have the marriage my parents have. But yet here you are in the same one. What happened? You didn't change how you think about stuff. You let how you were raised, you let all those thoughts, all those things that were said, you let that shape you. And so if we want to change stuff, we got to change how we think about it. Our thoughts are very important. You know, people are always interested in feelings. Well, how do you feel about it? We're going to talk about feelings next week. And feelings are important, but they don't rule our life. But today, it's all about thoughts, what our thoughts are. And so I'm looking at, why do I need to manage my mind? Number one, your thoughts dictate your life. How you think is going to determine how you live. Number two, it's because the mind is the battleground for sin. If you've got, and we all do, we all have that sin nature. Every one of us has it. Every one of us has a part of us that wants to do the wrong thing. Every one of us has it. And so it's where I win or lose the battle is on my head. In fact, all temptation happens in the mind first. All temptation happens in the mind. We get this idea that temptation is somewhere out there. No, temptation is right here. And so if I can manage my mind, I can manage temptation in my life. And I'll stop falling for the enemy's tricks over and over and over again. Instead of having to go a month and build, and then I fall apart again, and then I got to rebuild. Then I fall apart again, then I got to rebuild. It's like a constant lifestyle people do. They start to get traction, and they start building a life. And then their actions just destroy everything that they've built. And what do they got to do? They got to start all over again. That is not how God wants you to live. God wants you to continue to build and build and build. How many would rather just keep building than having to keep repairing? It'd be a whole lot better, wouldn't it? And so that's what we're looking for here. It's all happening up in our head. We talk about sins like pride and lust and bitterness and hatred, anger, fear, resentment, envy, or worry. And where are those things at? They're all up in my head. They're in my mind. And if you can learn how to manage your mind, you can learn how to manage your life. You won't let your emotions control you. You won't let thoughts control you, bad thoughts. You'll let what God wants to do control you. Doesn't that sound a whole lot better? And so Paul said in Romans 7, he says this so well. In Romans chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, and we've all been in this battle. And so if you've ever been in this battle, you can feel better about yourself and be like, okay, the Apostle Paul felt this way too, so I'm not the loser I thought I was. And here it's gonna help you. He says, I love to do God's will. Amen. Right? We love to do God's will. God's will. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. But, how many know there's always a but? But there's something else deep within me that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin within me. In my mind, I want to be God's servant, but instead, I find myself still enslaved to sin. Man, that it's just, it's like, okay, I've felt that and it makes me feel better. Maybe it shouldn't, that Paul felt that way too. But I want you to see some of the words there. We have them in the green. He says, there's something else deep within me that is at war with my mind. It's a war in your head. It's kind of like that old, remember those old cartoons and they had the angel on this side and the devil on this side, and they're both talking and they're both saying something different. You know what? That's going on right between your ears all the time. And you're like, how do I win this battle? How do I win this battle? How do I overcome it? Because here's the thing. If you don't learn to manage your mind, you will be mentally exhausted all the time. And when you are mentally exhausted all the time, you know what it leads to? It leads to anxiety. It leads to depression. It leads to lack of sleep, which all of those things lead to problems in every area of your life. And, you know, and if you've ever talked to someone who deals with depression, I had somebody describe it to me like this. They said, it's like being beat up from the inside out every day. And I was like, I'm not, just breaks my heart. And they're saying this through tears. They're saying it's like being beat up from the inside out every day. It's a battle to just every day to get through the day. Let me tell you something. If that's you, that is not God's will for your life. That is not God's plan for your life. And God has help for you. He has help for you. But you got to let God transform your life. You got to let God in. You got to let God in. You got to let God do it. And when he says, do this, you do it. Amen? And I recognize, and I just want to say to everyone here, we recognize and we have great compassion for people who are dealing with these kind of situations. And maybe you're here today and there's a physical part of your body that isn't working properly that leads to depression and things like that. And that does happen where your body's not producing some of the things it needs to produce and you need a medication to help you. I am all for that. We're not saying we're against that in any way. Here's what I'm saying. If that's you today, get that natural help from the doctor. Thank God for it. Aren't you glad for doctors? Amen. Amen. I thank God for doctors. They help people. So get that part of it. Get that help. But don't not get God's help too. Amen. Amen. Because that medical side, all it's doing is treating it. But God can heal it. Amen. So take that medicine. Take it while you need it. But in the meantime, let's also take God's word as medicine as well. The Bible says that God's word is a medicine for my body. It will bring health to you. And so those two things working together, man, that's good. So we're not saying that you're not spiritual or anything like that. We're all in this. So at different degrees, everybody here has a battle in their mind. Everybody has it. And so let's listen to what the word of God says about it. And let's take his word and say, you know what? I'm going to take the word and I'm going to do the word. Amen. I'm going to take the word and I'm going to do it. And so Paul's talking here. And he's like, I love to do God's will. We all love to do God's will, right? He says, I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. He says, my new nature, the Christian part of me, the believer part, the born again part, the part that loves to sing worship songs, the part that loves church, that part of me loves to do the will of God. But there's this other part. You know, I mean, when we're here and we're all together and we're singing and we're like, oh, you're so wonderful and you're so wonderful and we're all church people in here. We're like, oh, I love to do God's will. But then on Friday night when temptation comes, we're like, eeks, right? We're like, there's a part of me that's like, wants to do something different. You know what I'm saying? I want to do something different. And so Paul dealt with that too. But that battle is in your mind. It's in your mind. So we got to learn how to fight that. And I want us to see there that some words in this passage. He says war. He says fight. He says slave. He says enslaved. What's he saying? He's saying there's a battle in your brain. There is a battle in your brain. And it's going on 24 hours a day. And we got to learn how to control that. We got to learn because here's the thing. The enemy is trying to control what you think. But here's some great news for you. He can't. The enemy cannot, I'm going to let you know a secret. He cannot read your mind. Right? He can't do that. He can't read your mind. It may seem like he can, but he can't. He can't read your mind, and he can't make you think anything. He can make some suggestions. How many of you ever had some suggestions from the enemy, right? We've had a few. And so he can make some suggestions, but he can't make you think something. Your thoughts are controllable. Your thoughts are controllable. And I have a sign in my office. We got a picture of it. You up there? We got a picture of this. And I shouldn't have done that. I apologize. It's cement. But I got this picture in my office and I look at it all the time. It's hanging on my wall. It says, don't believe everything you think. That's just words of wisdom. I saw that at Hobby Lobby. How many love Hobby Lobby, right? And I was like, oh, I got to get that. Because everything you think is not necessarily true. Everything you think, just because you thought it, doesn't mean it's true, doesn't mean it's relevant, doesn't mean it's for you. It doesn't mean anything. It just means you thought it. And so we need to learn to manage the thoughts that we have. We need to learn to manage and to take care of our head. And then here's another reason why. Because it's the key to peace and happiness. It's the key to winning the battle of temptation. It's the key to peace and happiness. I'll tell you what, if you could bottle peace, if you could put it in a pill, you could sell it for all the gold in the world. Because people want peace more than anything. Peace on the inside. It's something people just don't have. And you know why they don't have it? It's because their minds are all over the place. They're being bombarded with thoughts and bombarded with ideas and bombarded with all this stuff. And so they have no peace. And so learning how to manage my mind is actually the key to peace and happiness. If you'll apply what we're going to talk about today, if you'll apply it in your life, your peace of mind is going to go up dramatically. Your happiness is going to go up. Your understanding and enjoyment of life is going to go up. Because here's the thing. An unmanaged mind, where whatever comes in, you just let roll around up there. You let it go wherever it wants. You let any thought in, and you just let it run its race. How many have done that with some thoughts? That's an unmanaged mind. And an unmanaged mind always leads to tension, but a managed mind leads to tranquility. An unmanaged mind leads to pressure. You're always going to feel like there's not enough of everything. Pressure. But a managed mind leads to peace. An unmanaged mind leads to conflict and chaos, but a managed mind leads to confidence. An unmanaged mind leads to stress. You don't manage your thoughts. You're just letting them go all over the place. You don't even try to control your mind or direct your thoughts. You have an enormous amount of stress in your life. And that's just the truth. Stress is one of the number one killers in America. And it's because we're letting our minds go everywhere. But a managed mind leads to strength. It leads to security. It leads to, this is a word we don't use a lot, it leads to serenity. We all want that. And when we learn to manage our minds, it's going to help us. In Romans 8:6, it says this: if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. If your sinful nature, if you let that part of you, and we saw that Paul even had that part of him, you have that part of you, I have that part of me. If that part of me controls my mind, it's going to lead to death in my life. And what is death? It's the opposite of life. How many know you can be alive but not living? How many figure that out? You can be alive but not living. You may have a pulse, but every part of your life is dead. And nobody wants to live like that. But the enemy's doing everything he can so that you do. And so when we look at that and we think, what controls my mind controls my life. Because the Bible says if my sinful nature controls your mind, there's death. But, let's be thankful for this but, if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. Remember that old cartoon? We got two on our shoulder, but they're in our minds. Two ways to go. I can either go with the thoughts the enemy is suggesting and putting in there, the thoughts from what people have said to me, names have been called, circumstances, or I can lean towards what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. And if I'll go with what the Holy Spirit is saying, the Bible says that there is life and peace in my life. And how am I going to do that? We say, all right, we recognize why I gotta manage my mind. I got to manage my mind because my thoughts control my life, right? I got to manage my mind because it's the key to peace and happiness. I got to manage my mind because that's where temptation is. You know, you don't want to keep falling for the same thing over and over again, right? I mean, we want to quit falling for the same thing over and over again. I mean, if the same, you know, I always say this. I've said it for years. The enemy will use whatever button works on you. Whatever, you know, we all have, you know, you've heard that expression, you're pushing my buttons. There, you know, all of us are, we're like covered in buttons. And the enemy, if he finds one that works, you know, like for me, when I was younger, when I was much younger, you know, it was the wrong man. If he was Mr. Wrong, he was Mr. Right to me. Right? Is that not the truth? Angela knows. She was my friend back then. She knows. She doesn't. She's loyal, though. Don't try to pay her for stories. She won't tell any. But this is the truth. It's like, oh, he's a heathen, doesn't go to church, you know, does this. Oh, he is? Oh, he is? Let me pray for him. Here's what we do. We're like, needs me. That is a lie from the pit of hell. He doesn't need you. He needs Jesus. He needs Jesus without you. But you know what? What happens? But that was a button. It's like where, you know, the enemy was, there's a suggestion. You know, I'd be like, I am free from this in the name of Jesus. This is it. I am free from this. Exactly. But then, Angela, remember? Oh, we got a new manager. We did. And then what happened? I never changed how I thought. I kept thinking, and men, you do this too. You get the girl with the most problems because you want to be her knight in shining armor. You're like, oh, I'll rescue. I need to rescue her. She needs me. She just needs a good man. No, she needs Jesus. She needs Jesus without us. Listen, you know, if somebody's not, they're not going to come to Jesus by dating like that. That's not how that works. That's not how this works. But that's a whole nother message. We're going to leave that one alone. But what happened, see, it was a button, and it just kept working until finally, thank God, I had to get into the Word and really just change. I had to get all that wrong thinking out, that thinking that, oh, they need you, that thinking, oh, I can help the situation, blah, blah, blah. You had to get all that out. But until you get your mind changed over something, he'll just be, as soon as you think you got it, he'll be like, bonk. You know, some of you have issues with offense. You are offended all the time. Somebody's always ticking you off, hurting your feelings. You always feel left out. It's offense. There's some thoughts in your mind you've got to change. Because the enemy's just like, you can't build, because as soon as you start moving forward, the enemy's like, pushes your button. And has somebody not say hi to you? Has somebody give you the stink eye? Has somebody say something about you? Because let me tell you something, the enemy has a lot of volunteers. Right? Anybody ever met one of the enemy's volunteers? It's like, I know who you work for, right? The Bible says that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but boy, he uses it. Right? He uses it. And so the enemy, he'll use whatever always works until we change the way we think about it. Because if you never change how you think about something, you're just going to keep falling for it. Falling for it over and over again. You're just going to keep falling for it. You know, we fall for those lies. The enemy says, oh, this one time won't hurt. This one time. Oh, this is different. This one's different. No, what's the Word say? We got to change how we think, because if we don't learn how to manage our mind, if we don't learn to recognize those lies when they come in, if we don't learn how to deal with it, we're just going to keep falling into the pit over and over and over again and never rise up to where God has for us to be. We want our lives transformed. You got to change how you think. You got to change how you think. And so I'm going to give you know how I like to do 1, 2, 3, because I think 1, 2, 3 works. Amen? 1, 2, 3 works. You know, it wouldn't be, I don't want to preach a message and you walk out and be like, man, that was good. She was funny. That was good. No, I want you to walk out and say, 1, 2, 3, here's what I need to do. Because I want to transform my life. I want to transform my life. And so if I'm going to do three things that is going to help me get control over my mind. Don't let the enemy or anybody else tell you that your thoughts are uncontrollable. Amen. Don't look to God to control your thoughts. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. If you tell him, Lord, help me with my mind, he's going to say, that's your mind, you do it. He says, let God transform your mind by changing the way you think. You got to change how you think. I got to change how I think. God isn't going to control my thoughts. So if I want a healthy mind, if I want to break free, you know, we were joking in the back office this morning. We were getting our groove on. We were dancing. I'm not even going to tell you what Pastor Scott did, because it was just, I don't think Mike will ever be the same. I really don't. But if you're an 80s kid, you're going to recognize this. I want this song to be in your head. Just this part, not the whole song. Just this part. Just this. But there is this song. You ready? Play the song for us. How many remember that song, right? That's sing. I would sing it for you, but you know. Free your mind and the rest will follow. So we got to free our mind up. And so then the rest is going to follow. You want change in your life, it's going to happen in your mind. We're trying to do it by, you know, oh, temptations out there. No temptations right here. Changes out there. No changes right here. And I got to do it. And so three things I need to do to change my mind, to get control of my mind, to start managing my thoughts. Number one thing I got to do, look at your neighbor and say, write this down. Say it like I say it. Write this down. Tap this in. Memorize this. I got to feed my mind the truth. Amen. I got to feed my mind the truth. How many know people lie? Amen. How many know the media lies, the world lies, the enemy lies? I mean, there's a lot of lies out there. And so if I'm going to have a healthy mind, I've got to have truth up here. Amen. I got to have some truth. I got to feed my mind the truth. Because here's the thing. We all want to be free. We sing the song, these chains are broken, I'm free. But the Bible says this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here's the thing, if you don't know the truth, it's not going to set you free. The truth is still there. The truth is still there, but you got to know it. There are people in this room today, you are in bondage to lies that people told you when you were a kid. You're still in bondage to them. They're lies, but you're still in bondage. You're still chained up to it. You're still living from that statement, because how you see yourself is how you live. You're still living from that place, even though it's not true, because you don't know who you are in Christ. You don't know that you are forgiven. You don't know that you are brand new. You don't know that you're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You don't know that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't know that. You've heard it. You don't know it. You don't know it. Because to know something, is that word know, it's an intimate. It's intimacy. In the Old Testament, same similar word. It was Adam and Eve knew each other. You know what I'm saying, right? They knew each other. It was an intimate form of knowledge. We need to know, not just hear, not just have a thought, not just be like, oh yeah, that was good. We got to know. We got to feed our brain the truth. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You are a child of the Most High God. You are forgiven. You are raised up together with Christ Jesus. You are a royal priesthood. You are a daughter of the King. That's who I am. So when the enemy comes and tries to say, oh, you're nobody, you're just a kid from here, you're the person who did all those things, you made all these mistakes, you lived a crazy life, you were backslidden, I'll be like, no, I know who I am. But you got to know it. And you know how you know it? You feed your mind the truth. You feed your mind who you are. You feed your mind what the Word of God says. And that's why we've got to do it. There's no substitute for that. Everybody wants a substitute for getting the Word of God in you, and there isn't one. There isn't one. We need the Word. That's why it's so powerful. You know, one of the things I love is, and you've heard me say this, I love a good confession sheet. I love a good confession. Here at prayer, we have prayer every morning at 7 o'clock, and at the end of prayer, whatever time it ends, we say the prayer, we say our confession together. And a lot of us have it memorized. We say we mess it up a little bit, but we have it pretty good. But it's right here, these confessions. I mean, how much different would your day be, or would your thought life be, if you got this into you every day? I set the course of my life today with my words. I declare that I will not be defeated, discouraged, depressed, or disappointed today. I am the head. I have insight. I have wisdom. I have ideas. I have authority. I exercise my authority today with my words, and I decree a thing, and it is so. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Romans 8:11. And it goes on. I mean, what would your mind look like if you fed it this every day? It'd probably look a little healthier. And so then when you were in that battleground and the enemy's telling you this, or people are telling you this, you know what's gonna rise up out of your spirit, man? It's gonna connect with your mind because your mind knows the truth. Oh no, no. The greater one lives on the inside of me. I have authority today. Right? That you gotta feed yourself the truth. You wanna change how you think, you gotta change what you're letting in. You gotta change what you're letting in. When should I feed my mind the truth? All the time. In the good times and the bad times. Sometimes we wait till only the bad times to start feeding ourselves the truth. That's not wisdom. Will God be there? Yes. Is God merciful? Yes. But you know what? I'd rather go into a battle in shape spiritually than getting in shape. How about you? You want to run a marathon after you've trained for it for a year, or you want to run a marathon right now with no training? Which way is going to work better? Where you trained. The other way might kill you. I think, just thinking about it, I get a little winded, right? But you know what? That's how we deal with spiritual things. We kind of were like, oh, I'll get to that. And then when you know, you get the bad report from the doctor, you're like, oh, you're going to get in shape spiritually real fast. And God's mercy's there. Don't get me wrong, God's mercy's there. But how much better would it be if when you got that news, you were like, let's go. The greater one's on the end, and it all just came up. That's why it's so important that we feed ourselves on the word all the time. Don't wait till the bottom falls out. Do it now. Lord, look over here in Psalms 119. Hacking, sacking. It says, Lord, how I love your word. I think about it all day long. Isn't that good? I think about it all day long. You know who's writing this? David is writing this. And sometimes we think David's sitting on a throne somewhere with a bunch of servants taking care of him when he wrote this. That's not true. He's hiding out in a cave because people are trying to kill him. Every day people are trying to kill him. The king's men are trying to kill him. People lay in ambush trying to kill him. What does David say? I think about your word all day long. In Psalms 119, verse 147, he says, David says, I rise early to cry out for help. That's prayer. And I put my hope in your words. That's Bible study. He says, I rise up early to cry out for help and to put my hope in your words. To put my hope in your words. The very next verse, Lord, I love your word. I think about it all day long. In Psalm 16:7, David says, even in the darkest of night, your teachings fill my mind. Your teachings fill my mind. When we look down at Psalms 119, verse 95, he says this, when wicked people hide to ambush and kill me. He wasn't just saying this metaphorically. People really were lying in ambush, waiting to kill him. Here's what he did. I quietly keep my mind on your decrees. Man, that's good. That's strength. Somebody's trying to kill you. Somebody's waiting. They're hiding. They got your number. And what does he say? He's not freaking out. He's not doing that. He says, I quietly keep my mind on your decrees. We need to ask ourselves, what would I be doing if I knew people were laying in wait trying to kill us? What would we be doing? We need to ask ourselves, what do I do in a crisis? Because if you manage your mind, you'll be able to deal with a crisis. Because that happens. Things happen. Let's be prepared for it. Let's be prepared. So number one thing I got to do if I want to get healthy mind, mental health, change the shape of my life, I got to feed myself on the truth. Number two thing is I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. I got to free my mind. Just because you thought it doesn't mean it's real. Doesn't mean it's true. Just because somebody said it, doesn't make it true. Doesn't make it true. What God says is true. Just because that doctor said it doesn't mean that's the final word. Amen. Just because the numbers say it doesn't mean that's the final word. Amen. God's bigger than that. God is bigger. I got to free my mind of those destructive thoughts, and that's not easy. The reason it's not easy is because you got three enemies coming against you trying to get you to think wrong things. You know, I love the story in Kings about King Jehoshaphat. I love his name, Jehoshaphat. I think that's a cool name. But he has three armies coming against him. And you know what? You got three armies coming against you every day. You don't have time to not, you don't have the luxury of not getting ready for battle because you're in the battle whether you realize it or not. You don't have the luxury of checking out. We don't have that luxury. You're in the battle. You're either going to win the battle or you're going to lose the battle. That's just the facts. And so there's three armies coming against your mind. And the first enemy, there's three enemies. The first one is your old nature. That before Christ living, how we used to do stuff, that culture that we came from that wasn't healthy, all that is coming. That sin nature that wants to do all the wrong things. Everybody has it. And when its thoughts are coming, we got to know how to take care of those. That's why I always encourage people, man, don't sit around and talk about your before Christ days. You know, the bad part of it. Don't sit around and talk about, you know, oh, we used to, you know, when we did this and we did that. It's not healthy because it's, the thing is you're putting thoughts in your mind. And we always leave parts of those stories out. We leave the death, we leave the death part out. We leave the morning after out. We only talk about the fun part. And if you're not careful, you're going to plant a seed. And next thing you know, you're going to be thinking too much about that. That's why we got to take care of those kind of things. In Romans 7:23, Paul says it like this. He said, I see in my body a principle at war. There's that battle in your brain. With the law of my mind taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells inside of me. And here's really what he's saying. Have you ever found yourself doing something that's not beneficial for your life? It's not the right choice. It's not what you know you should be doing. But you're like, how did this happen? It happened because we let thoughts come, and those thoughts had their way, and next thing you know, we're somewhere we do not want to be. We got to learn how to take control of that. Romans 8:5 says it so plainly. It says, those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. It's all about how you think. And so that old sinful nature, I gotta change some habits. I can't, you know, that old way of living. That old way of manipulating whatever it was, that old way, I got to recognize, like, that's not who I am anymore. And in order to think different, I got to feed my brain the truth. Second enemy that we got going is the enemy, is the devil. He's trying to control how you think. He's planting thoughts constantly, telling you, nobody likes you. Everybody's against you. You're never going to be good enough. You're going to be just like your mother. You're going to be just like your father. Whatever. Plant those seeds. And if you don't learn to manage your mind, those thoughts will torment you. It will torment you, and it will rob you of the call of God in your life. It will rob you of it because instead of flowing and operating in the anointing of God, you're constantly fighting the thoughts. You're constantly, you can't get free in the spirit because you're constantly fighting those thoughts. And you're like, man, I know I'm better than this. What's happening? You got to get a grip on those thoughts. Because if you don't, it's going to steal everything that's precious to you. It's going to steal it. The enemy is, you got to recognize those thoughts as lies. Because that's what they are. You know, the enemy can make suggestions, but he can't make you think anything. And we're going to learn next week how to just take that thought captive. But those destructive thoughts, man, we got to get rid of those. And you know how you get rid of them? You replace them with the truth. There's only so much room up here. Amen? You only got so much room. There's only so much room. And you just need to fill it so full of Jesus and the Word of God that when a bad thought comes, it's trying to squeeze in there. It just got no room. But if your head's not, doesn't have anything in it, the enemy's just like, oh, they got plenty of room, plenty of room, plenty of room. You got to say no to that. We got three things trying to dictate our thoughts, coming against us. One's my old sin nature, that old part of me. Number two is the enemy. He's trying to tell you how to think. And number three is the world and the world's value system. There is a culture around you. The world, the flesh, the enemy. And the world is trying to tell you how to think. The value system of the world is brought forth through advertising. It's brought forth through movies. It's brought forth through television. It's brought forth through celebrities and all this kind of stuff. It's brought forth through all of that. And so we've got to be aware of that. You got to be aware that they're trying to tell me how to think. Here's an amazing truth. Whether you believe it or not, it's still true. If you look back and study culture, and you look way back and you think of culture and how culture was, and they have studied this out, and it is proven that the biggest change agent for a change in culture, as in what is accepted and what is not, what is done, how we live, that's our culture, it's how we live, it's what we do. And he said the biggest change agent for that in American culture is television. Because television wants to tell you what's right and what is wrong. Wants to tell you what is moral and what is immoral. Wants to tell you how to live, how you should live, how you should do everything. And it does it by the shows that we watch. We can look all the way back to when I Love Lucy was on. And it was a major, that was before my time, thank you, Jesus. But some of you in here, that was your time, you know it was. But we look back there, and it was a major thing when Lucy and, what was her husband's name? Ricky. When they were in one bed, they didn't show them in bed, just showed that they had one bed. It was huge. Can you imagine? Before that, married couples always had two single beds, even though they had children, right? You know, but they only showed one, only showed two beds. And so it was a major culture change when it was one bed, and they weren't even in it. Look how far we have come. Look how far we come. And here's the thing. These changes, the enemy is very good at what he does. It always starts with what is before you. Because if what is before you, over and over and over again, you will become more acceptable to it, and you will be more approving to it because you've seen it so much. And so when we say things like, when stuff is on TV, and you let the Holy Ghost guide you, I'll let the Holy Ghost guide me. But when we see stuff on TV and we're like, oh, that doesn't bother me. Well, you know what? That's a problem. You've seen it so much, you're okay with it now. It's still contrary to the Word of God. And I'm not anti-TV. I like TV. I like Survivor, right? I like TV. But we got to be careful what we're letting in, because what we're letting in is changing how we think. Because the enemy, those three armies are coming. My old nature, the old me, the enemy, and the culture of the world is trying to change how I think. And I got to be careful. I got to be careful. So I got to feed myself the truth. I got to feed myself the truth of God's word. I got to get rid of those destructive thoughts. I got to take them. And I got to take them captive. And just real quick before we go. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. He's talking about a mental battle we go through. Our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. And that word demolish, if you study that out, it means that it is rendered so destroyed that it does not have the ability to be put back together again. Isn't that good? It says it demolishes strongholds. Our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish any argument and every pretension. And that's arguments in our mind. The pretensions are in our mind. We demolish them that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What is that telling me? It's saying these thoughts that are coming in, I can grab a hold of these thoughts and I can hold them captive. I don't let them run and have their way. When that thought comes and says, oh, you're never going to find a job, don't let it take you all the way to being standing on a street corner begging for money. Don't let it do that. But that's exactly what it's going to try to do. As soon as it comes, we take it captive. And you know what we do? We hold it to the word of God. When that thought of you're never gonna have enough comes, we hold it captive to the word. We say, no, this is what God says. We replace that lie with the truth. And that is how you take a thought captive. Every time the enemy comes and says, nobody likes you. Nobody likes you. Somebody's dealing with that in here today. I just know it by the Spirit of God. The enemy keeps telling you, nobody likes you. Nobody likes you. That's a lie. And plus, it doesn't matter if anybody likes you. Join the crew. Somebody doesn't like all of us. Right?
Amen.
There are people that don't like all of us. You may think you're all that, but somebody doesn't like you. Somebody thinks you are too much. And that's just life. So when the enemy comes and says, nobody likes you, you know, when you say, you know what? 1,000 may fall at my right and 10,000 at my left, but I'm going to still stand. Jesus loves me. And I have favor with God and man. That's in our confession. I have favor with God and man. Jesus had favor with God, and as he is, so am I on this earth. So I have favor with every person I come in contact with. I don't care if you like me, I'm still going to have favor with you.
Amen.
Amen. Quit falling for the enemy's lie. That's exactly what it is. It's a strong. Here's what a stronghold is. Everybody gets all weirded out by stronghold. Ooh, stronghold. You know, here's what a stronghold is. Very simple. A stronghold is any lie that you believe. That's a stronghold. It's got a hold on you. It's got a hold on you. Some of you are dealing with addiction. And nobody really knows about it. This is by the Spirit of God. You're dealing with addiction and it's still pretty secret. And the enemy's told you a lie. He's told you will never be free from this. That you are not strong enough. And you believe it. You know what that makes it? A stronghold. You know how you beat that? You know how you take that stronghold and you demolish it? You take that thought captive and you feed it. That you just beat it. You beat it to a pulp with the truth. Just picture in your mind. I used to have a pretty fiery temper. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. But I mean, you just need to picture that truth. Just hold it there and picture that lie that the enemy says, people are going to, you know, you're never going to be free from this. You can't do it. You've tried, you failed. You've tried, you failed. You've tried, you failed. You can't do it. Just give up. That's what he's telling you right now. And you believe it. You need to demolish that stronghold. And the way you do it, you hold on to it and you just pound it with the truth. I'm an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am not what I have done. I am what God says I am. Amen? That's why it's so important you know the truth. You just need to keep pounding that. And you need to get somebody to help fight that fight with you. You can't fight those fights by yourself. You need somebody to help you. We're called to be together. And that's for somebody here. You got to grab a hold of that. But you take every thought captive and make it. Somebody say, make it.
Make it.
Obedient to Christ. You tell yourself what to think. Don't let any thought that comes in just take over. Say, no, I'm not going to. You can ask my husband. I walk around. I'm not going to think on that. I'll say it out loud. I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to think about this. And I begin to speak the truth. And you say it out of your mouth. Because it stops that mental, that back and forth. You're having that back and forth battle. Just go to, you're at work having that back and forth battle. Tell them you got to go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom, shut the stall door, and just start talking. Just start talking. Somebody think you're on the phone. They'll just think you're on the phone.
Amen.
You know, just say, no, I'm not going to think on that. This is who I am. That's why those confession seats are so powerful. This is who I am. Thought you will be obedient to Christ. You will be obedient to Christ. Listen, if you don't get control of your mind, the enemy, your old sin nature, and the world's values are going to shape your life. And that's happening too much with believers. We're getting shaped and we look just like the world. Because we're letting that shape our life. The Word of God needs to shape our life. Amen? You want to change your life, change how you think. And we'll pick this up next week, part two. We got to go. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you, that word's for somebody in here today. Somebody in here today, two things. Somebody, the enemy's telling you that nobody likes you. You need to tell the enemy, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if anybody likes me. God loves me. God has a plan for my life. I have favor with God and man. Favor is better than somebody liking you all day long. Amen. Nothing can stop the plan of God for my life. Nothing. I will fulfill the plan of God for my life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if people like me. I'm still going to fulfill the plan of God for my life. And you know what? Just be honest. Everybody doesn't not like you. The enemy will always use inclusive words like everybody, all the time, always, never. Those words are hardly ever accurate, especially when the enemy is saying them. So recognize those lies. Feed yourself the truth. The more truth you have, the easier it is to recognize lies. You know, I used to have a job where I counted tens of thousands of dollars every day. All I did was stand and count money. It was a great job. I loved that job. That's all I did was stand like this. I mean, I could count money so fast at a time. It was a great job. Just stood and counted money. But you know how they treat, you know, and then you'd be counting money and all of a sudden you'd be like, doesn't feel right. They don't train you to recognize counterfeit by showing it to you. They train you to recognize counterfeit by flooding you with the real thing. You have so much of the real thing running through your fingers that as soon as something that's not the real thing does, you recognize it. It's the same way with thoughts. When you flood yourself with what God says and you feed your mind the truth and you recognize those enemies trying to dictate your thoughts and you say no to them and you feed yourself with the truth of God's word, when a lie comes up, you're going to be like, oh, that's not right. That's not right. Doesn't line up with everything else. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? Father, I pray for everybody in here today. Lord, I pray for all of us, myself included, that, Lord, that we would learn and make the effort. We would make the effort to manage our minds. That, Lord, that we would make the effort to feed ourselves the truth. We would make the effort to take care of destructive thoughts. We would make the effort to recognize the enemy's plan. Because, Lord, we know and we see in your word, it says, be careful how you think, because your thoughts will shape your life. Lord, we want our lives to be shaped differently. We want our marriages, our finances, our physical bodies, our emotions. We want it all to be shaped differently. And so we make a decision right now. I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to change the way I think. Just say that with me. Say, I'm going to change the way I think. Because I want God to transform my life. I'm looking for a transformation. So I'm going to let God transform me by changing the way I think. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I want to think like you. Help me. You can't do it for me, but you can help me. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you help us.